Joining me now on this edition of Our Town is Dave Twombly with Central Coast Disposal, who is also an ex officio member of the EMAC committee. And Dave's here. We're going to talk a little bit about recycling and kind of where we are and what EMAC's doing these days.
Absolutely. So recycling is, we're always trying to include as much as we can. It was nice to reintroduce milk jugs and any of your plastic returnables. You can either return them to the supermarket or you can put them in your recycling receptacles. So it was nice to see some plastics come back.
Well, and I know we talked about this off the air on how that even though some things were excluded this last year from recycling, the recycling efforts seem to kind of even ramp up.
Oh, we had a huge increase in the other areas because we almost recycled the same tonnage as we did the previous year when all those things that were being put in the recycling bin were, you know, being weighed and counted. So, yeah, I mean, like glass in itself, I was amazed. I think we had an increase in 40 tons in glass, which, you know, that's a considerable amount when you think about 80,000 pounds.
Right, and it's not just the fact that you recycled more of that. You were able to take out a lot of the things that would have been thrown in a landfill in China anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And our numbers are still the same. So, you know, the contaminants that were left in the, like, you know, peanut butter in the jug, or even people were recycling, you know, some of their tin cans, and they were leaving dog food and cat food and stuff like that. So, you know, we had to be more critical of that. But even considering as hard as we ramped up getting rid of, you know, no pizza boxes and adamant about what was never recyclable, and now we had to step it up and say you can't put this in, but our numbers were still good. So people responded. The community was awesome. They responded well. They cleaned it up, and their numbers were consistent. So that's a big deal, and we will continue to do our best to educate along with EMAC, and it's a conglomeration with my competitor and myself and the city and Lane County. The education is obviously worked.
So now as far as a citywide effort now with EMAC, and what are some of the things that are happening with them that they're working on as far as to take us maybe to the next step?
Well, I'll mention the things that I'm directly involved in that have to do with the garbage company. EMAC, it's a wonderful group, definitely committed to our environment. I mean, but they have other things on their plate, but I'll talk about what specifically reflects upon us. So one of the things that EMAC's going to be discussing in the next year, because when you get 2020 and that census comes out, we believe we're going to be over the 10,000 count as far as our population. So that's going to impact like the sewer transportation of solid materials. So right now we have Class B biosolids is what they're rated as, and those get transferred in drop boxes and put in the shore mountain, and then they put a big sticker that this is where it is, and the city's responsible for it forever. If it ever causes a contaminant in water elsewhere, then it can come back in the city. But once you're over 10,000 population, they have to create Class A biosolids. So right now they are producing some Class A biosolids, and that's in the form of Flow-Grow.
Okay, I was going to say, let's back up and explain what the solids are.
Okay,
obviously, so waste material.
So it's waste material that they screen out. So they liquefy everything, and then it meets a criteria so they can release that into the river because it's no longer full of pathogens and bacteria that will have a negative impact on the water or the environment. But they have a screening system where they screen out all the things that don't liquefy back into, I mean, it can't be specific as to what they are. You'd have to probably ask Mike Miller at the city, but those are a solid that doesn't get to go out into the river, and that gets transported. And that's what they're mixing with the carbon of when they chip up woody debris. You know, the grass can be included in all that, but it's basically the yard debris. So that's mostly carbon, and they mix that with mostly nitrogen, and then they throw a Gore-Tex tarp over the top of it, and they aerate it from the bottom, and what's produced basically is a fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And that's Flow-Grow, but they've only got, you know, they're doing maybe, and I'm speculating here, they're doing a small percent of what they could do. They, for me, my understanding is they would need 7 more tarps and a lot more area to make all of the biosolids coming out of the sewer plant into Class A biosolids. So where that impacts my side is they would expect the garbage haulers, which makes sense, to also pick up the yard debris from people's houses, because otherwise, you know, right now they already take it at the end of 27th Street, the third weekend of every month. You can take and put it in the back of your car or your truck. But, you know, how many people are willing to do that or able to do that? But if you had a cart that's curbside, and said, okay, every other week, 1 week we pick up, you know, your commingled recycling, and the next week we pick up your yard debris, for instance, that's one way, then that's where it impacts me. And that's where EMAC's involved, because they're going to be involved in both the process of finding out if it's feasible finance-wise and or whether they can get grants and that kind of thing. And that's where I say those dedicated people are going to go in there and going to do that. And they're going to come to us, and we're going to give a cost analysis of what it would cost for us to do that. And they'll decide if that's the kind of Class A biosolid that they're going to recommend or not recommend.
Now, my understanding was the FloGrow that is produced from this, had been available to the public, but this last year that the city had so much planting in that it was doing, that it actually used all their supply for this last year and was not available to the public.
That's correct. They were giving it out for free because they wanted people to see how good it is. I mean, because they used it as a fertilizer themselves, which they might as well, because it is at their expense. But if they produce that much more, Josephine County has it. It's called Joe Grow. They bag it and they sell it to like Bi-Mart and that kind of thing like that. And it's exactly what's produced. So it has a value. The value will not offset the cost of making it, but it will probably be to where they start selling it if they gear up to where they're doing that kind of volume.
Like you said, they'll need more.
Because the process, like I said, with the aeration, then they put it through a shaker, and when the shaker goes, it takes all the wood chips that didn't deteriorate all the way, so it goes in the next batch, and it takes out the impurities, and I mean, it's a process, and so when you upscale it from what they have, the scale they have, it's going to be expensive, because they got to put down that much pavement, and they have to, all the liquid that comes out, they have to retrap that, and it has to go back through the sewer processing plant so that there's nothing introduced into the waters improperly. So I mean, it's an endeavor, and like I said, it has to be analyzed to whether, because they can do other ways to make Class A biosolids. One, you know, they can get propane and they can bring it up to a temperature, basically incinerate it, so those solids are no longer, anything that was negative is gone. It's ash. Or they can put it through a digester, and a digester, basically it comes out as clay, but the digester digests everything, and that clay is, you'll have to transport that and bury it, so that's another process. And I don't know which one's more cost effective, less cost effective, and which one's better for the environment, and that's not really, like I said, that's kind of a decision that those people that are dedicating their time to study it will make. And when it comes to me, my input will literally be, I would love to do it, and if that's what you want me to do, and I know that many members of the community would be like, yes, I would love it if we had a yard debris program, because it's a commonly asked question.
Yeah.
And it will probably continue to be a commonly asked question until we are able to provide a yard debris program of some sort.
So what are some of the other things that EMAC is looking forward as far as, you know, maybe helping the recycling effort?
Well, you know, there are some areas that in the city that they call they're higher impact. We have garbage, trash bags and such get blown around, and there's recycling that could be done. And so they're looking at areas and trying to figure out, determine ways that they can do better education and have some receptacles so that the waste isn't there and the recycling is taken care of. So they look into beautification, because that's, you know, their environment management, that's their thing. And so that's one of the topics that's on there that they've set goals between them and the city council. And that will only impact me as far as, you know, am I the one that picks it up, or my competition the one that picks it up, or can I donate this kind of service, being that it's a community thing? And there'll be some other involvements that we determine whether it's actually, because it's for the benefit of the community, so sometimes it can be donated, and that will be under discussion. So,
well, then you also have the idea of, if you have receptacles around, you have the people that might over recycle rather than properly recycle.
Right. And that's where we talk about back to education. And that falls in their category too. I mean, they're the ones in the coalition of education we were talking about earlier. That's a huge push from EMAC, is like, okay, how do we best spend our dollars to do the most impact we can to educate the people so that we are recycling correctly? And so far, like I said, after this big hit, they've done a good job. I'm really pleased with working with them. I'm impressed with the group.
Now, also for months they talked about the bag recycling opportunities, but also the state is looking at doing a sort of a bag ban That's correct. How's that
going
to look?
Well, they're, the state's introducing several bills we have going on. So right now, you know, I don't know if you, last time you bought paint, but you buy paint and they say, oh, well, there's a, we're charge a dollar for, you know, a 1 gallon can, and it goes so that we can continue to have and recycle the paint. And in Florence, that's done through Habitat Humanity. You can take your paints over there and they'll recycle the paint. Well, that program is paid for by that surcharge, and they do it with electronics. So that's why you can take your electronics to the transfer site. Now they're talking about doing it with things like mattresses. So they're going to talk about charging a surcharge so that we can make sure our mattresses get recycled. And the state is also introducing bills, back to what your question was, as far as the shopping bag, the plastic single-use bag bans. That's a bill that's being introduced or discussed, and it may be at a state level. Florence is still talking about doing it at a city level. So I don't know if we'll beat the state or the state will beat us or we'll do it at the same time, but it's still on a topic of conversation with EMAC. And they're also talking about banning single-use straws that are plastic, you know, going back to where you use paper straws, that kind of thing like that, so that we can get that plastic out of the environment. And that really doesn't impact you or I as far as what I do, but that is a topic of conversation that they're looking at and seriously talking about. And if people are interested, you know, go to the city's website and you can see the posting when EMAC meets, and they welcome anybody that comes in there to put in their 2 cents.
Well, and I tell you what I learned from the Public Arts Committee is that people that want to get involved should get involved early on in the process rather than after decisions are made.
Absolutely.
And jumping
if
on the
you
bandwagon.
Have an opinion about plastic straws, or you have an opinion about where you want a garbage receptacle and a recycling receptacle with, or whatever, I mean, yeah, you can't wait until the gavel was dropped and said this is the decision and then say, hey, I didn't know this was going on. You know, I mean, that's, it happens, it's unfortunate, but that's one of their goals, is even in this, is we, my goal too is you want to get involved, you get involved now. We want your, they want your input. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm not, because I'm an ex officio, so I'm only there as of my capacity is to say this is how it impacts me, but I can freely say that they welcome and want input and want discussion because they want to make sure they're making decisions for the benefit of everybody they're representing. Right. I mean, they're not, they don't want to be doing it selfishly. They want to represent everybody as a whole.
Yeah, and that's how everybody benefits, is
absolutely.
By total representation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, like I said, they're doing those kind of things. And then they have other things that the committee has taken on with the city council's help, is taking on more responsibility. They're doing some things with
trees.
Vegetation.
Yeah,
they're taking over. Used to kind of be in planning, but planning didn't write code to it. So they're going to talk about, you know, vegetation and how to use herbicides and what herbicides are. So they're going to, they want the city and the citizens want some representation as far as what can we do to keep our city so that, you know, it's still beautiful and we have our trees and we make sure there's a process to keep it that way. And so they've kind of punted the ball from planning to EMAC because they determined that to be more of an environmental issue. So they're going to address that in the upcoming years as well.
That's also interesting, too, because the other night at the city council meeting, we heard people that were formerly part of the planning commission saying, hey, didn't we used to do this art stuff through the planning commission? And they were kind of upset that they no longer did that. So now people are going to have to get used to the change in how things are done. You know, the Planning Commission has got a whole lot of things to do in this city in motion thing that we're doing. So other committees have to take over.
Absolutely. And that's their goal. Their goal is to disperse it so that, you know, because some of those meetings, you've sat there. You know, you're in media. So you've sat through those and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I need another cup of coffee. And I've sat through some of those where I'm like, I'm not going to have another cup of coffee. I've already had 2 cups of coffee and I'm still drooping, but I don't want to be up all night. So, you know, some of those run long. And so what they're trying to do is spread it around, and they're asking, well, even in EMAC, they're going to do subcommittees subcommittees will do a bunch of research and homework, and then they'll bring it to the committee as a whole and said, this is what our research is. You know, we did the legwork. This is the stuff you want us to bring forward to you. So this is the information we have obtained. And in all these categories we're talking about, they break them into subcommittees. And I think even like you said, the arts one is doing, are they breaking into subcommittees or not?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I believe they all have little subcommittees.
You've got to. Otherwise, it's a full-time job. If you don't break it up, it's tough for a volunteer to spend that much time without breaking it up.
And the thing is, too, the city will let you know when things are happening. But it is also up to the community to find out where they need to be and when they need to be
there. And absolutely. And that being said, if you have if you have a few questions, I never have a problem. I can take the time. You know, this is my career, so I won't speak for EMAC, but I will speak for what has been discussed or what we are doing or can do. So you can call me, and I will gladly have a discussion with you. And then I will say the same thing I'm saying now, is that your concerns are valid. Please bring them to the next EMAC so that they as a committee can hear what you have to say.
All right. So, I guess that pretty much gets us up to date, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And great job, really. I really want to compliment the community as a whole, and not just from my garbage company. I will say that Lane County feels the same way, the city feels the same way, and my competition feels the same way. It was definitely a group effort, and we've all seen rewards for it. So we're up to date, and you guys keep it up.
I know it was iffy. When it first started, because a lot of people had questions, why can't I?
Right, it was tough go. And it was all contamination that we just overlooked before, and now we can't overlook it. So, I mean, it's good. It's going the right direction. It's a much cleaner product, and now it's being accepted. And like I said, as we grow, there'll be more of a demand, and it will all come back. But the stringency of staying on top of it, keeping it clean, you know, keeping it the right source, that's probably going to remain forever, and it needs to. So, yeah. But overall, the community has done a wonderful job.
All right, Dave Twombly, thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
Plenty to talk about when we come back in the next hour of Our Town. We'll talk with Sheriff Byron Trapp. We'll talk about Florence Fest 19 and what's coming up on Earth Day on this edition of Our Town.